We need more prayer. We need more prayer. Amen. We can go through all the motions of inviting a lot of people, and we can do all the promotional things that we do with all the tools that God has given us. But without prayer, it's all meaningless. You know, you can put forth a lot of effort and wear yourself out trying to do the work of God. But prayer, it's like the fuel for your automobile. Amen. It's like the food that you eat that causes you to be able to have the strength to keep going. We need to pray. Amen. And if you haven't been praying, we never pray too much. And you don't worry about the fact that you don't know how to pray if you don't, because even the Lord gave instructions in His Word of how to pray. And He didn't mean necessarily say those words, but use that as an example. You know, our Father, give some honor to the God that we're praying to. Our Father, acknowledge Him as who He is, who art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. And you know, there are a lot of words that you can say that acknowledge the fact that He's your Father and that you're within reach of His kingdom. Amen. And that you want His will to be done in your life here as He has His will already in heaven. And then you pray, Lord, I have some needs in my life. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I have this headache or this problem or this friend that needs help. And help me, Lord. I've got problems. I'm a human. Have temptations. Lead me not into temptation, but lead me out of the temptation. Help me to get past all these things so I can just praise You, because Yours is the kingdom and Yours is the power and You have the ability. Look, if you don't know how to pray, just read that a few times and then see if you can say a few words on your own. You get to do that in school. Why can't we do it for God? Amen. Amen. Acts. Some words written by Luke in Acts, the first chapter. And Luke had just gotten through writing 24 chapters, or he had written 24 chapters in the book of Luke. And Acts is actually a continuation. Amen. A continuation of Luke's writings. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He showed Himself alive after His passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, Ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but you shall receive power. Everybody say, I will receive power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in unto the uttermost part of the earth. When He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by Him in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. I call your attention to these first few words here. Amen. Amen. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Amen. If you were to write a book or an essay, could you write it with certainty that this Jesus that you have experienced is real? You think you could write a convincing group of words based on something that's happened in your life when it seemed impossible that he could be there, yet he was there? You may be seated. There are moments in our lives when it seems like God is out of reach, but he's never out of reach. He's always within reach. But there are moments when people feel down because the humanity kicks in and the strain of living and working and the stress that goes along with just everyday life has a power within it to bring us down if we let it. Even though the Lord is drawing us upward, there's something that's trying to pull us downward. How many of you know that's true? There's always something, as the Lord is drawing us, that's trying to keep us from being able to be drawn. I can probably say something that's true in your life right now, because I've heard this testimony by so many people through the years. I just started to pray more than I've ever prayed, and to dedicate myself more than I've ever dedicated myself. And I made commitments to God, and then everything went wrong. I've been there. I bought the t-shirt. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. I know what it's like to have everything. But look, if you stop at that point, that's not a very good testimony. It's not a very good testimony. Like, we went into a nursing home. We were having nursing home services for the senior citizens. And a lady in her wheelchair, she raised her hand and she said, "You know that sister I asked you to pray for last week?" And yes, she died. Yeah. It's hard to know what to say at a moment like that. Have you ever asked for prayer and you had people to pray for you, and you just got worse after that? I've known that experience too. And as I said, as the Lord is drawing us upward, there's something trying to pull us back. Your old human nature is not a devil, but sometimes you think it's the devil. You think it's the devil doing it when all it is you, but I'm not saying you're a devil. You know, Paul wrote about a thorn in the flesh. And if you look at that very carefully, I know there are a lot of people that question, you know, what does it mean? And a lot of people have their various explanations and interpretations. But one thing I'd like to say, no matter what else is true, I know this is true. My flesh is the thorn. It is the messenger of Satan that buffets me. I think that's what he's talking about. Because the things that tend to drag us down, to hold us back, to discourage us, to cause us to feel like every silver lining has a cloud, generally come from things that we hear, things that we feel, things that we see, because we're human beings and we're used to feeling, and we're used to seeing, and we're used to hearing, and the knowledge that we have of certain things that happen. And if we pay a lot of attention to the negative or the dark side of things, we can miss out on some tremendous blessings. I guess I'm trying to say, if you ever write an essay, if you ever write your testimony out and you want people to be able to read it in later years, I'm not saying you're going to write part of the Bible, but you are living part of the Bible. And anything you say is still a part of the book of Acts. If you're talking in the victory that God delivered to those people in that upper room in the book of Acts that we read about, how the Holy Ghost came. He never did stop falling on humanity. Amen. That gospel that Peter preached on that day of Pentecost, that gospel went into the whole world, into every generation that would ever live. And the revival continues. Thank you, Jesus. The revival continues. But in the midst of all this, there's so many people who stop short of the glorious testimony that could be such a blessing. You know, I just love to read a book that has a good ending. Look at your life as a story that hasn't ended yet. If it would end right now, would it have a happy ending? I'd hate to, you know, pick up a book of your writing and have all these interesting things. He healed me when I was sick. And I'm certain of it. Oh, I wrote this down so you could know the certainty of it. Oh, church, oh people left behind, I feel so much victory right now as I write this note. Great things happen. God bless me. God bless me. Wonderful things happen. And then some terrible things came my way, and I got so down, so discouraged, I didn't know what to do. The end. I'm glad that this book doesn't end up like that. Don't let your book end up like that. Hallelujah. We go on through the book of Luke. We see that you know, some terrible things happen. Jesus was healing the sick. He was opening the blinded eyes, raising the dead, encouraging people from all walks of life, feeding the multitudes, taking time with the children, and it was just great things going on. And then there was the betrayal. And there was the disciples saying, I'll never do anything wrong. You know, I'll stick with you no matter what. And then the knowledge of the Lord, knowing that man is generally fickle. And he basically said, I know what you're saying, but I also know how you're going to react to what's about to happen. And the same man that was so, you know, triumphant, as the song Brother Chris was singing, that beautiful song that he was rendering. And as that triumphant feeling was in his life, I'll stick with you, Lord, no matter what. How many of you feel like you're going to stick with the Lord no matter what? You know, and if you were right now, what's going on in your life? I think most of you could write, oh, I'm going to stick with him no matter what. But remember, Monday's coming. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Monday's coming. And reason I say Monday's coming, I know some people, they can be so victorious on Sunday, when I call them on Monday, they're just like, oh God, everything in the world could go wrong, it's going wrong in my life. Why do we have to get out of church so early? Or why do they want to get out? Why do I want to get out the door so fast after church? I don't get it sometimes. Everything's down. They're down in the dumps on Monday and Tuesday. Oh, it's terrible. But Tuesday night comes. They come maybe dragging in. I've seen this for years. All burdened down after a shouting time we had on Sunday. Because the story that's being written is full of things that were not expected. I tell you, that's what makes a story interesting. When you're reading or you're watching a movie or something, and You know, it's the unexpected that grabs your attention. The unexpected can be, you know, your favorite character walking down a dark alley trying to take a shortcut, and all of a sudden there's a gun sticking in his back. And somebody's saying, your life is about to end. And then all of a sudden, you know, we might have been dozing, we might have went to sleep during the commercial, but all of a sudden we wake up. Huh? What? And then we start watching, you know. Wonder how it's going to end up. So they walk through the alley and this gun poking in his back, and he hits him and says, keep walking. Let me have your wallet. No, don't you reach for it. I'll get it, but don't you look back. And he reaches down and gets the wallet. Holds the gun up to his head and says, let me feel in your shirt pocket now. Everything you got. And you're sitting on the edge of your seat. And that's your hero with a gun in his back. And you don't want it to end there. Do you? You don't want me to end this, talking about it even, with that gun going off and that man lying dead, do you? But even if that happened, I'd want to see what's going to happen next. I think. Depending on who it is, what it's about. But here we go. Oh. I thought this was getting off to an awful slow start, but I'm interested now. Something unusual, unexpected happened. And here they walk. And the man just keeps on taking things from him. And you can hear your hero saying, please don't shoot me. Please don't shoot me. Please don't hurt me. Oh, please, you can have anything I've got. Just please, I've got a wife, I've got a family. Please, please don't shoot me. And then all of a sudden, something happens. And you see your hero, pow, grab the gun, kick him around a little bit, throw him in a garbage can. And you say, phew, hallelujah. Now that's a good place for it to end, you know. God wants your ending to be like that. While you're going through this dark alley of living, there's something in your back that's saying, I want everything you've got. And just up ahead, the Lord is saying, I'm giving you everything I've got. And you're stuck in between losing and winning. You're stuck in between being pulled backward and drawn forward. You're stuck in between a gentle voice beckoning and a strong, forceful sound saying, you can't make it. Hallelujah. So let's write the book. Let's write the essay. It's certain, and I have seen it over and over, that calamity comes. Even Jesus was nailed to a cross. But that wasn't the end of the story. Hallelujah. That wasn't the end of the story. It's certain that needs do arise. And in the world we live in today, with the economy like it is and with problems like they are and the uncertainty of it all and how people are going around wondering and how it's going to all end up, and every way you turn there's debate and there's argument and there's people taking sides, and really you don't know who to trust anymore. It's, you know, leaders are lying and trying to make up stories on one another and then saying, vote for me because that one's bad. And the other one said, vote for me because that one's bad. And, you know, I just want to know the truth. And I don't find it in the news sometimes. I don't find it in the discussions up and down the street sometimes. I find reality, if there ever was a reality show, this world has become one. And it's a survival thing. we're all in this thing. And I don't know who's going to make it or who's not going to make it. But I hope that the story of your life will end up. That thing that was at my back is no longer there. Because I gained strength from that which was before me to be able to take care of that which is behind me. That was drawing me gently had the power to defeat that which was forcing me and hurting me. Oh, look, when it starts reading like that, I want to just read it all. Ain't nothing worse than a great big long book that don't make any sense written by somebody with all these big words about something you're not interested in. But I don't care how long it is. If it starts having something about victory and I'm interested in it and I'm reading it, you know, I may not put it down until I've read 200 or 300 pages. But if it doesn't get interesting pretty soon, I'll lay it down before I get to the third page. Amen. What's life doing to you? I say so many sad endings. I've preached so many funerals with sad endings. People who died in sin. I don't go into the funeral home and say this was a sinner and he's going to hell. I don't say that. But we try to give comfort and we try to make things, you know, find words to say that will cause people to not, I mean, they're already sad. They're already, and I can't change anything. I can't make somebody that's already deceased go to heaven or hell. But I can find words of comfort. But I'm telling you, it's so much better when I'm called on to officiate in a funeral service, if I know the certainty of the testimony, how that no matter what went wrong, he kept getting back up. No matter how he was set back, he found a way to spring forward. No matter how discouraged he seemed to be a couple of times in his life, I remember the testimony when he came out of the valley with those hands uplifted and tears in his eyes. Oh, look, you can find words to say at a memorial service like that. It becomes a victorious celebration. I've been to funerals and helped in funerals where the life of the person in the casket was so good and so filled with victory that the entire church started praising God around the casket. Amen. And the choir started singing. People started clapping their hands. Oh yeah, loved ones were sad, going to miss him, but praise God for the victory. Praise God for the victory. For the life that would not stop in defeat. For that which would not let discouragement be the final answer. For that which would not settle for darkness had to go on and find the light. For that that would not find a dead end street, but would find a way to get on past whatever was trying to block it. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord with me. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you the certainty of some things that have brought me back. Sometimes you read in the Psalms how people went through some really tough times. Enemy at their back, no way to cross over, no way to go forward, no way to go to the right, no way to go to the left. And the only answer was for God to do something because there was nothing they could do. I've been there. I've been there. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you have been there? You've been there where something was forcing you and you couldn't go forward and you couldn't go back and you couldn't go to the side. Everything was going wrong. And some of those folks even said, wish to God we'd have stayed where we were before we started trying to get out of that place. You know, they didn't really mean it. They just didn't know what to say. They didn't know how to react to this situation. Because what they were counting on was the deliverance. The deliverance that they started out to. I mean, that's why they were going where they were going. Because God's man had said, I've come to set you free. I've come to take you to the victory. And don't worry about all those forces of evil. Don't worry. You don't have to be under the burden and the heavy load again. God has made a way of escape for us. We're going to make it. And all of a sudden you find yourself with this great big group of people Oh, what kind of thoughts Moses must have had as his story was unfolding. We read it and we know the end of the story, but when they were going through it, they were going through it. Hallelujah. They were just people like we're people, with feelings, emotions, and they didn't want to hurt any more than we want to hurt. And when they came to that moment, there's no way to go forward. I've been there. And you can't go to the right and you can't go to the left. I've been there. And if you go backward, you're going to be destroyed. I've been there. And so there's no answer except trust God. But I want to tell you, He was the answer before you got in the mess. He was an answer during the mess. And He's the answer at the end of the mess. So the best thing to do is just go ahead and trust Him in the beginning of the mess. But if you don't do that, then trust Him in the middle of the mess. Somebody asked me, what are your views on tribulation? I said, I got a lot of them. You think it's mid-trib, post-trib? What kind of trib are you? I said, I'm doing like the Bible said, in this world we have tribulation. But what are you? I said, I'm one in tribulation. But do you believe the Lord's coming before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, or after the tribulation? I said, well, since He didn't show up before my tribulation, He could come in the middle of my tribulation. But if I die, He'll come after my tribulation. Hallelujah. But if He comes right now, He's going to come after some tribulation I just got victory over. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, you can start every morning with every enemy defeated, with every discouraging thought out of your mind. You can start every day knowing that mercy is available, and it's new, and it's fresh, and it endures forever. It'll always be there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't give up till you hear the rest of the story. Thank you, Jesus. But certainly, the things that I started to mention that keep me coming back. Amen. I'm so excited I kicked the clock. Check the time there. Make sure I don't go too long. Hallelujah. When Sister Fern Holcomb, singing in our choir, doing so well, a picture of health it seems, social worker in the community, a school teacher also. And all of a sudden the doctor told her she only had a few days to live, that her liver was just about completely gone, cirrhosis of the liver, very little possibility that she could make it. That was on a Wednesday night. And just a simple prayer like we had today for these two people on a Wednesday night, no visible results that we saw, and she was checked into the hospital and you know, they were just going to, you know, do some more testing and so forth. But when she went to that hospital, that was the sentence. She only have a few days to live. And we prayed. And she prayed. Hey, look, when you get somebody else to pray for you, make sure you do some praying too. Because the one that usually prays the prayer of faith is the one that's being prayed for. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So anyway, Saturday came and there was that phone call. It's all right now, Brother Rutledge. What? This is Sister Fern. I'm okay. You're okay? Yes, I'm okay. God answers prayer. Oh, I know He does. Amen. He answered prayer, Brother Rutledge. Yes, I know He did. He always does. But you know, all the time she was saying that, I was going through some stuff myself. And I was wanting to believe. But somehow in the back of my mind, there was something pulling me back to, it may not be as good as it seems. Maybe she's living in a state of denial. You know, you don't have to let these things happen to you. But have you ever seen anybody go up to get prayed for and you had a thought they probably won't get healed? You don't want to have that thought. It just comes from somewhere. You know, you may not think it in those words. But, you know, words like, I've seen them go up and get anointed before and they always go back and they come back again. So why should we expect anything different this time? And then when God does something that you didn't expect, it takes a while to get adjusted to it. Because somebody really had faith in God, and somebody was writing an essay, somebody was writing a story. I don't want it to end up with cirrhosis of the liver. I don't want it to end up like the doctor said. I don't believe that report. I believe another report. Hallelujah. I believe his report. On Sunday morning, she stood in the pulpit at our church saying, the doctors called in other doctors and they made x-ray after x-ray after x-ray. They couldn't find a sign of cirrhosis of the liver. It just wasn't there. I'm telling you, those things are the kinds of things that causes my book to suddenly get bigger and bigger. Oh yeah, I can have the victory. I can have peace. I can be healed. And I have been healed. Oh, back before that, there was Brother Howard. Brother Howard had a big cancer on his face. Just in a regular Sunday or Wednesday night service, he comes walking up to the front with this big old cancer. And he says, I've had this cancer for 12 years on my face. And now it's growing. It's getting bigger. And I want to get rid of it tonight. Well, right then, even though I was going forward in the Lord, there was something trying to pull me back, said, tonight? I mean, I was playing the organ in my dad's church, playing the trumpet and the organ at the same time back then. They thought that was really something, you know. So I spent most of my young years playing two instruments at once. And people would come sometimes just to see that, but they wouldn't live for God. They just want to see that guy play that trumpet and that organ at the same time. But I was living for God doing that. And all the time I was there and all that victorious praise, it seemed like just before the greatest miracles, there was that something saying, it can't happen. It won't happen. I know God can do it, but he's not going to do it now. Where'd that come from? That's not the way I feel. That's not the way I think. No, when I'm down on my knees praying, you're a victorious God. You can do anything. Oh, Lord, I know you're able. Oh, you have conquered my enemies over and over. You've brought me out of the depths. You've helped me when I was seemingly helpless. You've given me hope when I was hopeless. But here comes that one needing a miracle now. Yeah, I've seen that one come over and over. Where'd that come from? And she got up and testified. They couldn't find it. It wasn't there. And I left them scratching their heads. And I'm going back to work tomorrow. She said, because I told the Lord, if he would heal me, that I will tell everybody I see about how he healed my body. And she said, I can't wait to get to school. I'm going to tell every teacher and every student that God healed me. Because they thought that they would never see her teaching at school again. But she showed up on Monday telling every class, going from class to class, my Lord Jesus healed my body. My Lord Jesus healed my body. She went down to the social place where she was a social worker. Walked in, told her boss and all the workers there, the Lord Jesus has healed my body. Oh, that's a good place for the story to end. That's a good place. It's better to end it there than at the report you only have a few days to live. Or at the time when you're having those negative thoughts. Hallelujah. And then Brother Howard a few days before, on a Wednesday night, cancer on that face. Big old cancer. And it was starting to take over his face. 12 years, he said, I've suffered with this. And that was the general anoint with oil and pray. And kind of a quiet midweek service, as many times they are. Everybody's singing the same songs and the same pattern, same format they always do. You know who's going to testify. You know who's going to lead singing. Same songs we've been singing for the last 400 years. Why don't we ever learn a new one? I get those thoughts sometime in the middle of, you know, singing. What a mighty God we serve. We've sung that probably 5,000 times. But He is a mighty God. You know, I'm not tired of singing it, but sometimes I get to thinking, when are we going to learn some new songs around here? And then after a while, after a little prayer and a little bit of encouraging myself in the Lord, it becomes a new song again. Hallelujah. Brother Howard stood there with that big old cancer on his face. And this is what really got my mind to twirling. He said, next time you see me, this cancer will be gone. Mm-hmm. Here I sit on the organ bench with my trumpet in my hand, ready to play the victorious sound, thinking it won't happen. Where'd that thought come from? Jesus said it will. Brother Howard spoke it. He said, next time you see me, this cancer will be gone. But I knew we were going to see him in just a few days because he always came to church. So the next service, or the next week, I believe it was, he said it, next Wednesday at this time, I'll be here with a testimony that the cancer's gone. That's what he said. So the next Wednesday night, we had that on our minds. And Brother Howard did not show up. 7:30 came, he was not there. My dad started his service, and there was something in my mind saying, you see, it didn't happen, so he ain't coming. And, you know, I can almost see the devil's head. Because I know how I used to be when I was a little devil. Ain't going to happen. 5 minutes went by and we're having service and people keep looking back toward the door. And I can tell they're thinking the same thing I am. He said, next Wednesday at this time I'll be here and that cancer will be gone. I'm talking about some things now that have given me some things to kind of fall back on so I can spring forward again. Hallelujah. I'm talking about something better than daylight saving time going away. Falling back on something that makes you go forward. Thank you, Jesus. About 10 minutes went by, still not there. And then when we weren't even, you know, thinking he would be there, suddenly the door came open. Here came in Brother Howard with no sign of cancer on his face. Thank you, Jesus. I was totally surprised. Shouldn't be. But I'm telling you, when you're not praying as much as you should, you get so busy you can't get around to it. You're not reading the Bible as much as you should. You're not staying with your mind on the Lord as much as you know you should be doing. And you got all the cares of life and all the responsibilities and everything going on. And things pulling at you and people calling and demanding things of you. It's easy to not even realize that you've taken more time listening to the pullback sounds. The doubts and the fears and the worries and... But faith is still something that takes us forward. And what we need to do is stop right where we are and acknowledge God. Oh, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Right now in my life. Thank you, Jesus. He came walking up to the pulpit and he turned around and faced everybody. He said, it's gone. And I'm telling you, all of us doubters started raising our hands. We should have been doing it last week, you know. Thank you, Jesus. We had to see it to believe it. But he believed it, and then he saw it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I went home after church, after 12 years of suffering with that thing. I went home after I was prayed for last week. I went to bed, and he said, I felt something on my face when I rolled over. And he said, I looked, and it was that entire cancer lying on my sheet. Fell off my face. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I went and looked in the mirror, and you could see, you know, you could see where it had been. And he said, He said, I didn't know, you know, if I would have that scar of where it had been, but I was willing for that to be all right, you know, because I'd rather have that than the cancer. But he said, every day when I looked in the mirror, it was a little bit more cleared up. And he said, today, just before I came to church, I put my clothes on, took a shower, put my clothes on, got ready for church, looked in the mirror, and I can't even see a sign that it's ever been there. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? That's the truth. I'm watching the clock, so bear with me just a couple of minutes. This story's got a happy ending. I'm going to end up shortly. That's a happy ending. But tomorrow, some of you are going to wish I'd have gone a little longer. Thank you, Jesus. Some of these things, you know, remind me of the certainty of it. The revival we were having in Louisiana, two evangelists that God sent. Amen. We are well into the revival. Over 100 have received the Holy Ghost. I've baptized about 30 or 40 at this point. A couple of weeks have gone by. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and just people were throwing their crutches away. Some hearing came back to some deaf people, and a blinded eye was open. The guy with blinded eyes was healed. And he went through the building yelling, and I could see. It wasn't like they do it on Benny Hinn. I mean, he couldn't get through saying it. I mean, it wasn't showbiz. I ain't criticizing Benny. I'm just saying, when it's not on TV and when you're free to just express yourself and take your liberty, I tell you, in that revival, we were interrupted in our service by a man who hadn't been able to see for years. Running and jumping and yelling, I can see! That's how a real miracle response usually is. It's not, okay, lift them up and you can go back to your seat. No. You've been suffering all your life. You're going to have to do a little bit of jumping. A little bit of yelling. A little bit of praising. Hallelujah. But in the midst of that, me being the pastor of the church with these evangelists that I had a hard time accepting because they weren't, you know, I called one of them soup on his shirt, Sharp. His name was Brother Sharp, and because he always had stains on his shirt. But God said, let God be, and I couldn't have my own way that, you know, we didn't plan a revival. We didn't know it was going to have a revival. In fact, we were planning something we had planned. Because we knew if we could just have this Christmas program and invite all these people and use our little newspaper that we had put together and had 20,000 subscribers, the Apostolic Chronicle, and put that in all the homes and increase the publication of it, we'd get all this going. Man, we'll fill this place up and we'll see some people find God. That was our plan. I wrote about 20 songs for a Christmas program, and we practiced, and we had a man playing the part of Jesus, and we had a lady playing the part of Mary. We had all this, and we were just practicing, and then God sent this guy with soup on his shirt. And the other fellow with a dirty shirt and no tie. And I went out and looked in the car, and it was full of candy wrappers and it was worse than mine. Hold your peace. And Lord, I'm almost through, I promise. Hallelujah. But something just kept happening every night. Healings. Miracles. But when he pulled this stunt, it bothered me. I was sitting on the platform, and this brother who was preaching for us, and we were having these enormous crowds, he said, all right, folks, we've had a wonderful time for the last couple of weeks. Now we're going to have a victory march. And he said, we're going to go outside the walls of this church. Now, at that moment, we had about 800 people present. About, I mean, it was packed out. The balconies were full. The choir balcony was full. And people were standing at the walls. And people were looking in at the doors. And he said, we're going to have a victory march. And we're going to march around the building 7 times. We were still in a construction time. And we hadn't lighted the unlevel concrete parking lot. And we hadn't lighted it yet. And we had some spots where, if you didn't see where you were going, it had some places where it was suddenly 3 inches thicker, you know, around that building. And I had this Sister Emerson there, you know. Some of you heard this story. And I sat there on that platform and I got nervous. I'd seen all these healings. This guy running and saying, I can see and you know, and all this. But, you know, but now he's doing the unthinkable. We're going to go outside and have a victory march and march around that dark parking lot that is not finished yet. He didn't say that. That's what was being said in my mind. And I got these senior citizens going to walk out there. And Sister Emerson, when she came to this revival, she had a walker. And she, the first night, she said, I don't need that anymore. But yeah, that's one thing God can do. But this... Lord, I know you're able. What was I going to do? I mean, here's the advantage. He's got everybody excited. They're all wanting to do it. And I'm sitting there. And he turns around. Because everybody now, all 800 of them or so, they've gone outside the building and I'm the only one left. And the evangelist turned around and said, Pastor, are you going to march? I said, sure. And I'm telling you, the unthinkable happened in that victory march. I'm talking about negative unthinkable. I was marching along, and just a few steps ahead of me was Sister Emerson, 70-something, you're about 78 years old. She'd had a lot of rheumatism. I'd been passing her for a couple of years, and I knew she had a lot of ailments, a lot of problems. She was a heavy-set lady. And Joel and Labriska Hempel, they were right in front of me, and about, 60 people in front of them, there was Sister Emerson. And we were just walking along, praising the Lord, and I was watching everybody, hoping nobody would fall and hurt themselves. And all of a sudden, there was a commotion up ahead of me. And I heard, ah! And then I saw somebody turn around, oh, Brother Rutledge, call an ambulance, call an ambulance. What? Victory march. And it's Sister Emerson. She's on the pavement. And I look. And her left leg has bones almost coming through the skin up above the ankles. And her foot is turned off almost backwards. And the bone is just, you know, it's just her leg is crooked. It's like another knee formed in the middle of her leg. And she's lying there. Lying there in this victory march. Her kids are not believers. They've already said they don't want their mama going to that crazy old cult church. And then here comes this mob of people that just had a Holy Ghost revival going on for a couple of weeks. Seen a lot of victory. And all say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? About 720 have already made it back into the church because this was the 7th time around. This was the 7th time around, and all we had to go was about 50 more feet to go in the side door and then shout because we had the victory. But we didn't make it. Because the doubter stayed at the end of the line. And that old thing that kept saying, you can't make it, you can't make it. It's no victory. This is going to end up in a scandal. You know, it's going to be in all the newspapers tomorrow. And all the time I was having all these thoughts, I kept hearing, call an ambulance quick, call an ambulance, call an ambulance, call an ambulance. What was a wonderful time of rejoicing turned into, we got to have help from man. Yeah. Because this is too big for God. They didn't say it, but that's what was being demonstrated. But I'm not going to end it right here. I'm going to tell you the certainty of what God can do in the most desperate situations and what He did at that moment that caused that revival to last 9 weeks. Over 200 people, brand new people that had never served God, prayed through to the wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I just kept baptizing people every night. They were lined up. I even went under the water with them a few times. We were just so excited. I didn't mean to. I just slipped. And there I stood. There's looking at Sister Emerson and that broken leg. Now, this gives no credit to me whatsoever because I was powerless. I didn't know what to do other than what I saw in the book of Acts. When Peter and John went at the hour of prayer to the temple, Peter said, look upon us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That came to my mind. And that started driving out that other thing. Oh my, what are we going to do? Thank you, Jesus. The other one was loud. This one was soft. This was gentle. And then something similar to what I experienced driving my car when I first felt God dealing with me to quit all my jobs and close down all the music stores and just, you know, get rid of all the vehicles and just surrender and spend a month in prayer and just launch out in the ministry, which I had a hard time struggling to do that. And I kept driving that car saying, it must just be me. I ate too much or something, you know, just on and on. But that ended up with a lot of struggles. It ended up with me finally saying yes to the still small voice and no to the loud, forceful thing that was trying to pull me back. And this is what was going on at this moment. There was this word of God right there in the book. And we'd preached about it so many times, talked about it so many times, had so many testimonies and songs about it, how He heals the cripple. He'll raise you up. He can fix that. He can bind that which is broken. And I don't know how to explain this other than just say it like I experienced it. In a moment of despair and desperation, I'm talking about everybody wondering what to do and the sound of call an ambulance still going on. Something lifted me up, and I don't think it was the devil. Something lifted me up because I turned loose of that was pulling me back and just yielded to that which was trying to lead me on. This is what I'm trying to say today. If you want to have a happy ending, don't let the forceful thing behind you stop you from being able to be led. Because if you can just yield to that leading of the Spirit, He'll take care of that stuff that's behind you. Those thoughts and those doubts and everything that goes with it. But I don't know how to explain it because maybe two times felt this in my life. I've been blessed many times, but this was something different. There was a moment there in desperation and thinking of rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. That at first it started off, if I do this and it doesn't happen, but I rebuke that thought. Sometimes we just got to take charge of our mind, charge of our stinking thinking, and let God's mind, the mind of Christ, take over. If you don't have enough faith, let Jesus' faith kick in. He knows He can do it. He knows what it takes. All He wants us to do is yield to His thoughts, yield to His way, because His mind is greater than our mind. His ways are far greater than our ways. And I did it. Somehow I did it. When I yielded to, I don't care what they think, and no matter how it turns out, I'm going to put all my trust and my confidence in Jesus. And there, while they were still saying, call an ambulance, I looked down at Sister Emerson, and I said, in the name of Jesus, Sister Emerson, rise up and walk. Praise God. Nothing happened. But the doubt didn't come back. And I think maybe I got a little insight of what Peter did when he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he reached down and lifted him up. So I reached down as that leg was still broken and those bones were still about to come through the skin. I'm not making this story up. I can't make them up this good. Mine don't turn out this good. And when I reached down and I started to pray and started to put my hand on that leg, before I could touch it, before my eyes, I saw, and before the eyes of many people around, I saw that thing go, and it was perfectly straight. The foot was straight. The bones were no longer trying to stick out of the skin. And if you don't mind me demonstrating, I don't want to get on the floor. Bring me a couple of chairs. I want to show you what Sister Emerson did. Bring me a couple of chairs up here, somebody. This is what she did on the parking lot at the Apostolic Church, West Monroe, Louisiana. A lot of those people are watching me right now. They know it's true. They were there when it happened. Amen. Brother Shirley's the good pastor. They still run hundreds of people in their church. Many of them came to God in that revival. Bring me another. I need one big enough for me to lie down here. Make me a bed. Amen. I want to go to sleep. Come on, you guys. We want to get out of this place. Thank you. All right. This is good. You can take that one back. She was lying there. And I can't really demonstrate it as good because my leg's not broken like hers was. But she was lying there, something like this. I'm about to break mine. Something like this. She was lying there, something like this. But this was turned out like this. It was like this. Okay? And that bone was protruding through the skin right here. I hope that chair's still there. That bone was protruding through the skin on this side, almost coming through the skin. And this leg was bent. I'm telling you, because I was there looking at it. I saw this. And this foot was pointing at me. The shoe was pointing at me. I'm talking about something that keeps bringing me back. You don't have to have that kind of an experience to bring you back, but I'm telling you something. If you can just believe this, if you can't get your own experience like this, listen to me. I'm telling you something that happened. I'm telling you the certainty of something that happened. I was there. I saw it. I was part of it. God blessed me, even though I was a doubter and I was at the end of the line. I didn't want to do it. Amen. I reached down to touch her, and it went like that. And it just straightened out. And here's what she did. You know what everybody else did? Just what you did just now. They just got deathly quiet. Wonder what's going to happen next. And then she said, "Woo! Woo! Woo! Woo!" And then she went running through that unlevel, dark parking lot like a little schoolgirl. Went loping into that side door of the church. And I was like a kangaroo right behind her. It was like, you know, look what the Lord has done. It ended a lot better than it started, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Just come around the front. But she went running back and forth, up and down that aisle through those people. They didn't even know, most of them didn't even know what had happened. Because they'd already gone in. But about 60 of them saw the miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She went running, ran up the steps of the platform, grabbed the microphone while they were all still dancing and shouting and praising God. Turned around and she said, "I went out there on that parking lot, went through that victory march, and I broke my leg. And I think I broke my hip." I didn't even notice that part. She said, "But the Lord Jesus put me back together." Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And, you know, a lot of you heard the details, but I just shortly tell you. That ended up the next day. I got a phone call. A lady said, "Sister Emerson's in very bad pain. Her kids are going to sue you, and they want you to take her to the emergency room right now." And again, the tug backwards was coming. Oh, God. Hey, look, I'm telling you, this story has interesting points in it. Don't stop in the forcing backward part. Keep going until you can spring forward to the blessing part. Thank you, Jesus. And when I went to her door, dreading every step of the way, they said she'd been hurting all night, couldn't hardly move. This is an older lady that was older than Sister Emerson telling me this on the telephone. I knocked on the door reluctantly, and the door flew open, and there she stood with a smile. She said, "Oh, Brother Rutledge, it's good to see you." I said, "Somebody told me you suffered all night." She said, "Well, I'm an old lady." She said, "I marched around the church 7 times." And she said, "My muscle got a little sore." I said, "Well, they said your kids want you to go to the emergency room." She said, "Yeah, that's why I'm dressed and ready to go. Can you take me?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Why are we going to the emergency room if you're all right?" She said, "Because they told me if I don't, they're going to sue you." And so let's just skip a lot of the details and let's get to the good part. You know, you'd be reading the book sometime, you can't wait, so you just turn back here. There we stood in the hospital, the emergency room. And here's a lady nurse saying, "So what seems to be the problem?" Sister Emerson said, "There is no problem." She said, "Why are you here?" "Because I broke my leg last night." "You don't have a broken leg, I know." "Why are you here if you broke your leg last night and you don't have a broken leg?" She said, "Because the Lord Jesus fixed it. I broke it last night and He fixed it." She said, "Just a minute." And she went back in the back and brought some more ladies with her. I'm standing here watching this unfold. So another one says, "So what seems to be the problem?" She said, "Nothing." "Well, why are you here?" And the same thing again. Then they went and got a doctor. And he said, "What seems to be the problem?" She said, "Well, I broke my leg last night." He said, "Your leg's not broken." She said, "I know it. But would you x-ray it?" He said, "Why do you want me to x-ray if it's not broken?" He said, "Because my kids think it's broke because I broke it last night." He said, "You didn't break your leg last night." She said, "Well, just in case I did, would you x-ray it?" He said, "Miss Emerson, you couldn't be walking like you're walking if you broke your leg last night." She said, "Well, can I have an x-ray? I'll pay for it." So they took her in, they x-rayed her. And he came out and he said, "Sister Emerson, I see on the x-ray," and he held it up there by the light, or Miss Emerson. He said, "There was a time in your life when you had a severe break." He said, "But this part of where you broke your leg, probably when you were a little girl, it's the strongest part of your leg now. But the signs of it having been broken are definitely there, but it's completely healed." And she said, "Hallelujah!" She said, "Because doctor, the only broken bone I ever had in my life was the one I had last night. And if it's completely healed, that's just the way Jesus does things." Hallelujah! That's why the revival went for 9 weeks. Because it hit the news. She was on the 6 o'clock news wiggling her toes in front of cameras. And it was all over the community, people watching. When we left there and we went to church that night, you couldn't hardly get into the parking lot. There must have been 1,000 or 2,000. And they were just lined up and down the street wanting to see that lady that had her leg broken the night before. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just praise the Lord. That's the end of that story for now. Oh, thank God. And they all lived happily ever after. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise
hallelujah.
The Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory,
hallelujah,
glory.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Lord, help us to be victorious.
Glory.
Let the latter
Lord,
be better
glory
than that which is before.
Glory.
Let the greater come later. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Help us, Lord. Help us
be on the mountaintop.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
Nothing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he was the one asking the question. Praise the Lord.
You,
there's
Jesus.
Nothing too hard for God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Before we exit this place, I think we should enter into his presence here and call on God,
yes,
if there's
true.
Something that you're needing. Amen. Believe God for it. We've got enough report of the Lord to get the job done. Hallelujah. Would you call on him? There's plenty of space if you need to come closer, but where are you at? Believe the Lord. No matter what you're facing, no matter what the opposition, you've heard it already. Praise the Lord. Even if there are things rising against you, we've got a mighty God that knows how to clear the air. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Oh, Lord. God, we trust in you. God, we believe you. Praise the Lord. God, we expect you.
Thank you,
Thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus.
Oh,
hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Set free today in this place. Fill with your spirit today. Hallelujah, Lord. Open understanding today.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Mighty God, as people need you. There are people calling on you right now, Lord, that want you. Praise
Thank
the Lord.
Jesus. Thank
God,
Jesus.
We know you do not disappoint. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
He
Jesus.
Was wounded.
Hallelujah.
Our transgression.
Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah.
He was bruised.
Oh, yes.
For our iniquity.
Oh, let it bless you right now. Yield yourself to God.
Surely he bore all our sorrow.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Hallelujah.
And by his stripes we are healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, he was wounded.
Your voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.